This is the summary for Peacemakers. It's been a series trying to encourage us all as believers to become proactively involved in the process of peacemaking. The title started off with Peacekeeper, Peacekeeper, Keeper's Man. Make me a peacemaker if you really can. Peacekeeper, peacekeeper, keeper's man, make me a peacemaker if you really can. And that's obviously a take on the old nursery rhyme. To differentiate between peacekeeping and peacemaking, peacekeepers cannot truly be a peacemaker or keep and make peace. And as believers, we are more interested in peacemaking because the Beatitudes clearly says in Matthew, blessed be the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. I had started with a rhetorical question that posited, have you observed that the world over the last couple of years in particular has seemed to create more division among everyone? It didn't really matter what the issue was. It could have been on racial divide. It could have been on political issues, Democrat, Republican in the US case, Laborite versus Comrade in Jamaica, etc. It also touched on things like Black Lives Matter, COVID, fake news, vaccine versus anti-vaccine, pro-mask versus anti-mask, lockdown. All of those issues individually have seemed to escalate, going from one crisis to the next in terms of dividing people, households, families, friends, business associates, religious bodies, etc. Didn't really matter what the particular individual thing is. The bigger picture, if you were to pull back out of the forest to see the trees, you would observe very clearly a mosaic that was being put together piece by piece to form this separation or division. It's a self-polarization, if you will, because we are to blame for contributing to that by allowing ourselves to do that. Having said that, not all the blame lies with us, but certainly we do have a responsibility to observe that. And the question posed was, how should we as believers then separate the worldview from the biblical one? The key word being separate, not divide. Although the word separation and division have interchangeable meanings depending on their context. I then said that there were seven pointers to point out to us, to point us to solving this so-called dilemma. One was the awareness, two was the problem, three was the solution, four was the challenge, five was the exhortation, six was the application, and seventh was the celebration. And I started off with the awareness of the reality. If you haven't even been aware or are aware that this polarization, this division and strife is actually part of a bigger picture, and you just view them as isolated incidents going forward, you will miss being able to see the forest for the trees. Let's now look at the generation that we're in. We seem to be in a generation that has all kinds of the marks of end times prophecy. No man knows the hour or the day. Christ was clear on that. But the men of Issachar understood and knew the times. So we can know the season and the time as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. All of these things, Israel, all of the prophetic signs that we see littered throughout Scripture can point us to a season. And it certainly looks like we're closer now than we've ever been before, given the signs of the times that we have. Knowledge shall abound, all of these things. While this is not an attempt to do a prophetic end times teaching, it does play a role. But the fact is that we seem to be attacking one another with venom to any kind of opposition that doesn't toe the line with our viewpoint. Peacekeeping really is, you know what, for the sake of an argument, I don't want to get into an argument, let me just go along with what the other person thinks to be go with the crowd and not stir up anything. A lot of people are like that. They just don't want trouble. They just don't want any arguments. So they don't want to engage people in conversation. But that is not peacemaking. That's peacekeeping. Peacemaking is not also being antagonistic, getting out and getting your face in somebody and ray and telling them, you know it, blah, 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 blah. That's not peacemaking either. There is a balance between the gentleness of peacekeeping, if you will, and the firm, resolute truth of peacemaking, speaking the truth in love. But we seem to have come under our own devices for hating one another. It's on the rise. And I coined a thing that said, we're becoming police officers. We're surveilling each other. We're snooping on each other. We're snitching on each other. We've become cops. COPS. And the COPS was C for chastised, O for ostracized, P for penalized, S for stigmatized. You know, you're chastised if you don't believe what the other person doesn't believe. And then when you don't toe the line with what they believe, you become ostracized. Oh, I'm not talking to that person anymore because they don't believe in this or that. And then if that's not bad enough, you become penalized. You know what? I tell you what, I'm just going to force you to do this. I'm just going to penalize you to do this and forget about the issue. Whether that is vaccine, mask, or politics, or race, don't even think about the individual item. Look at the big picture as the principle of what I'm saying. And then after you're penalized, you become stigmatized. You become like a leper. Totally an outcast in society. It doesn't matter what the subject is. It can apply to Christianity and persecution. Or now that you're a believer, what is foolishness, you're chastised. And now that you've become a Christian, you know what, I just go ostracize you. I'm not even going to talk to you. You're not coming to my barbecue anymore. I'm not inviting you. And then penalize. You know what is true? Tell you what, I'm not going to give you that work anymore now that you're a Christian. And then stigmatized. Don't even bother going near these people. They're leprous. It happens across the board. So I'm saying be aware that these dividing lines, while they manifest in the flesh for all to behold, are in fact rooted in spiritual forces, can only be discerned in the spirit to distinguish the source. Is it me? Is it somebody else? Is it the flesh? Is it the world? Is it the devil? Or could it be the Lord himself? And that is what we need to know for sure, because you could be railing against something that God himself is actually doing, if it is indeed him doing certain things, and you need to know which is which to discern in the spirit. Then we spoke about the problem. The problem was that it's part of a fallen world that we live in, from Satan separated Eve from Adam to deceive her, and then divided their mindsets about the tree of knowledge. And then eventually God separated Adam from the Garden of Eden. So this separation and the problem of division and so forth actually is rooted in a fallen world. That's called creation separation. And then it's also part of end times prophecy. It's going to happen and it's going to continue on and on until the Lord returns. And we spoke about in the last days what would happen. People would be lovers of themselves. They would be hating one another. So it's part of end times prophecy as well. Division is to be expected. Then it's also part of the devil who seizes the opportunity to divide. The thief comes to steal, to rob and destroy. So the devil is also very much at work stirring up strife and division. And then we also see that there is a division amongst believers and unbelievers. Jesus said that he has come to divide. He did not come to bring peace, but a sword to divide. A mother from a father, a daughter from a daughter-in-law, etc. So we can see that there is actually a separation that comes from the Lord himself. And we have to be careful to know how that is taking place. And then there is further a separation of believers from believers. People even in the body of Christ can have sharp disagreements, but they're not to allow a bitter root of dissension to grow up and cause trouble and defile the many. You can have disagreements, but it shouldn't bring about such a venomous way of treating your fellow believer. Believers are being separated from unbelievers, the wheat and the chaff, the goat and the sheep. So all of these carry with it different sources. Then we moved to that was the problem. Now we looked at what was the solution. While we can have differing issues, we cannot be divided in the spirit. We cannot operate in the flesh. There's a danger of what it will cause. We have a choice that we can make. We can choose not to follow that. There is a benefit in that peace. And then there's a promise that God gives to us for being a peacemaker. And I call that the preparation generation. Then I offered a challenge to you. Do some personal reflection. Look at repentance. Consider, your own ways. Cast the beam out of your own eye before you look to taking the speck out of somebody else's eye. Then I exhorted you to be a proactive peacemaker. Don't just sit on the fence and be reactive, but be a peacemaker yourself. Pursue peace. And to do that, you become the revelation proclamation, if you will. And it's time for us to wake up so that we can take up this challenge. Because at this particular moment in time that we're in, the world is crying out for an answer, for hope, for peace. There's all kinds of stuff going on, as you know. And then when we have done this exercise that I was proposing, we can pass the peace on, so to speak, to encourage other believers to do the same thing, because we were really ministers of reconciliation. We are God's ambassadors, as if Christ were making his appeal through us, and he's given us the word of reconciliation. And I've said that the application for this now, because we were called the reconciliation generation, is that we need to lock ourselves away for quality time with the Lord in quietness. Not just a 5-minute reading of a devotion, but spend some quality time. If you wish to add fasting to that, praise God. And then talk to God and let him purge you of things that need to be purged and cleansed. He can pour new wine into old wineskins. And so when you have been filled with the Spirit now, you have repented, you have confessed your sins, all of that has gone out. If you need help, you can get with another brother or sister to help you through the process. Forgiving one another, all of that stuff. One that has been done on Jesus' new wine. You're filled with the Spirit. And that power that will work through you, when you now go to somebody to help them to bridge peace, you will have the assurance of God following you, because you will not be a hypocrite. You won't be not practicing what you preach. So really, if you want to see that happen among people that you know, or yourself, or the world, or your church, or whatever, you have to first of all go through the process. Put on your seatbelt first and your oxygen mask in the plane before you put it onto your baby. And then you will see the power of God move. And I was telling you, write down a couple of things, but before you go, make sure you ask their permission. Don't just jump into a fight. You need to ask permission and so forth. And then after that process now, I believe that the gospel message will go out with power the way we saw when they preached in the book of Acts chapter 2. It will happen because you are honoring God's word. God is not going to honor hypocrites. If we, the church, especially evangelicals and charismatics, if we're being hypocritical, if we're fighting with one another, if we are just can't even get our own act together, why do you think God is going to put his stamp of approval on us to bring unbelievers into the kingdom? He's not going to do that. He'll do it some other way, supernaturally, but we will miss the blessing for that. Don't you want to be a part of that revival? Don't you want to see that change? Well, you can't be a hypocrite. And so I said the gospel message is the next thing that needs to go out with power. And the message of reconciliation, be reconciled to God, repent and be converted so your sins may be blotted out. That message will carry with it incredible power to save souls in these last days. We will see that harvest come forward. And then the last thing was about the celebration, that we should be willing to testify of how God has used us, how God has, what God has done in our cleaning up act, testify about this. That's the celebration, because we need to have that assurance of hope that yes, there is not all doom and gloom. God is still in control, and there will be a celebration. There will be a great celebration when Christ returns. But in the meantime, if we can see a harvest celebration that comes forth in this dispensation, wouldn't you want to be a part of what I call Christ Nation? And so share your testimonies. When I was in quiet time, this is what the Lord spoke to me, and this is how I have benefited, and this is how God has used me to bring others to Christ, and so forth. So that's pretty much it in the summary. And I hope you do your own personal reflection using some of the scriptures I've cited and look up your own. But I hope you take this to heart, because I truly feel that God in this time is calling us to be peacemakers so that the gospel message can go out with power and with force and without hypocrisy. So Father, I thank you for this time with everyone. Lord, I ask you to bless your word. Don't bless my words, Lord, unless they line up with yours. But bless your word. May it have impact. May it penetrate to dividing joints, marrow, soul. May it judge the thoughts and attitudes of everyone's heart listening. This I ask in Jesus' name, as we look forward to a great celebration of testimony of what you have done. In Jesus' name, amen.